Luke 17, verse 7. Luke 17, 7. Jesus says, which of you, having a slave plowing or tending, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He doesn't thank the slave because he did the things that were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't make you Lord. We don't make a decision to put you in the position of Lord. You are Lord from eternity past to eternity future. And there's no one better to have as King and as Lord. We praise you. And it's a pillow for our souls, as it were, that Satan is not the King of Kings, that we're not the King of Kings, that men are not the Lord of Lords, that you, the Jesus of the Bible, God, very God, who died for our sins and rose from the grave, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we declare and affirm your lordship over us and over every molecule in the universe, things created and beyond. Thank you for this food that you've provided. Thank you for all the brothers here who have sacrificed and prioritized. Come here, I pray you would greatly enrich and strengthen them through it, physically and spiritually, Father. And Lord, we agree with your word that even if we were to do, as Luke 17:10 says, all the things commanded, we ought to simply just say we're unworthy slaves. We've only done what we ought to have done. There's no more proper and humble and sweet demeanor of soul, because you are opposed to the proud, as your word says, and give grace to the humble. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would sanctify this time, sanctify our minds, help our minds to be awakened to your truth, to submit to your word. And let nothing be taught here except that which conforms to your holy word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, gentlemen. We've got Jesse Peck here. See you, Jesse. Yeah. All right, so we, gentlemen, we're pushing pause for a bit on early church history. And we finished looking at Pelagianism, Arminianism, and Finneyism. And now we're going to chat discipleship for I don't know how long, for a while. Okay? If someone could flip on a few more lights or adjust the dimmer switch, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. There we go. I feel like I'm in a seance here. A repetitive attending seances 21 years ago.
Morning, Jason.
So, okay, so we're going to start a new, I'm not sure how long, maybe six-ish weeks, we'll chat about discipleship. And you have some notes there. I probably won't hand out a lot of notes. It will be comprehensive. We'll hand this stuff like this out. We're going to be doing diagrams and different things. So I'll just let you take notes. And I would encourage you to teach the guys you come alongside, just to have for your own edification. Can I carry our Zoom guys and maybe put them here? They're going to need to see the whiteboard. Will that mess things up?
No. Yeah, you can.
I'll let you do it. That's your baby there.
That's a computer, not a baby.
Okay. So discipleship. It's a big sort of umbrella word. Gets talked about, gets discussed, and we certainly won't say everything there is to say about it, nor will we claim to say the most intelligent things about it necessarily, but we will endeavor to give a biblical introduction and encouragement to engage in this. Okay, if you turn to Matthew 28, please, gentlemen, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. I understand a lot of this will be review for many of us, but I hope that it won't be too monotonous, and I hope that it'll encourage us to excel still more. Matthew 28, verse 16. Let's see, Jason, would you mind reading 16 and 17? And that'll be good.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
You can keep going. You're on a roll.
"Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you all, even to the end."
Okay, so Jesus has been resurrected from the dead after he triumphantly came and served as the sin-bearing sacrifice to atone for the sins of the elect. The gospel, Jesus has done the work of the gospel. It is finished, as he said. It is finished. Now, he's resurrected. And he's ascending back to heaven, and he gives this mission, make disciples. So he gives a place where disciples are to be made, which is where, Ben?
On earth.
Yeah, earth, right? So that's where we go to make disciples. And who is giving the command? Of course, Jesus. And he makes an important statement there. Where does he have authority? What's that?
From God.
Sorry. Where geographically does he have authority? All authority has been given to me, yep, he says.
Heaven and earth.
Well, that's good, because the where, he has authority. All right? And the what is make disciples. Okay, of who? I should put a who as in the authority, but who is to be made disciples of?
All nations.
All nations. Okay, that's different than what, for the most part, Israel was commanded to do. In the Old Testament, you're commanded to come to Israel and blend in and become a Jewish proselyte. It was like a come and see mission. Now the mission is what? Go and tell. Go and tell. Okay, so the command is make disciples. And there's some modifying, there's two modifying participial phrases underneath there. What are they? What's one of them?
As you're going. What is a participial phrase?
ING. Okay, so baptizing. Okay, so there's two things that means. Baptizing and from 1 Peter 3:18 to 22, we talked about obviously getting in water doesn't regenerate you, because salvation is not by works. Baptism is the outward declaration of an inward reality, okay? So this is evangelism. Evangelize the lost, okay? And then what's the other participial phrase there?
Teaching.
Teaching who, Jesse?
those that have been baptized.
Yeah, teaching them what?
Observe his commandments.
Well, what does he say? Tell me exactly what it says.
All that I've commanded.
All that I've commanded. So is that only the red letters? No, it's not only the red letters, because all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says. Jesus is God, so the whole Bible is God's word, okay? So teaching them to, as Jeff said, observe. Observe. Word has the idea of hearing so as to learn, so as to submit to, so as to implement into my life. Okay. And then what's the comforting promise? Say that again.
Jesus says, I'm with you
always. Yeah. He's with us always. Okay, so here's sort of a this is the launching paradigm right here. The place, earth, who, Jesus, all nations. What? Make disciples, evangelizing them, teaching them, and the comforting promise, he's with us always. Okay, this is every Christian's command. If you get the privilege of going to heaven, you're commissioned with the responsibility to make disciples. If you prefer not to go to heaven, then you can opt out of this. That's obviously, you can do that. Okay. So teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, one of the things that he's commanded us is to make disciples. Okay. So one thing that we are to command, or that we are to disciple others to do, is to make disciples who make disciples. Okay. Comments, questions so far? Basic. This is our biblical launch pad. Okay, the Greek word for disciple, mathetes, is the Greek word. It doesn't mean like super Christian or elite Christian or those Christians who they feel like that God could really use them because they haven't made a lot of mistakes in their life. Disciple is synonymous with saint, believer, Christian, someone going to heaven, someone who's regenerate. Okay? And the Greek word mathetes, it means a learner who kind of comes under the teaching of someone who maybe is a little more taught in something so as to follow and implement those teachings and then pass it on to others. Okay, or simply put, a learner who teaches others to learn. Okay, what else I want to say about that? So every Christian to be a Christian is to be a disciple, and then one of those commands is to make disciples. Follow all my commands. One of those commands is to make disciples. You know, it's like, well, how do we know that that just doesn't apply to the apostles who were sitting there on the hill outside of Galilee that day? Well, because he says, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do everything I've told you. One of the things that I've told you is to make disciples. So a Christian is a disciple making disciple. Okay, that's what we are to do. But that's what you are. It's not a matter of if that is, that's who God has made us, that's where to be. It's just a matter of, are we being obedient? Are we attempting to be obedient to that call and that command? And glory to God, brothers, we go armed, not with our own teaching, but we go Christ being with us, under his authority. Everywhere we go to make disciples, he has authority there. He's the Lord of Lords there. It's not like we're going to step into some place where he no longer has authority or he's not with us. Omnipresence. omnipotence, sovereignty, and we go armed, gentlemen, with the gospel. The gospel, the Greek term, euangelion, it means good news of a victory that is worthy of declaration. Good news of a victory that must be declared. The sovereign God, the creator of all things, who deserves worship, honor, submission, allegiance, and bowed reverence, has created us. We've rebelled in Adam. All are hopelessly, thoroughly depraved, yet God in his mercy has chosen for himself a bride for Christ, and elect his people from the before the foundation of the world. And the Son of God has agreed to come down and be a wrath-bearing sacrifice to redeem the elect, which he did, the incarnate second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, lived under the law, died for our sins in a substitutionary atoning sacrifice, resurrected from the grave, and upon God's sovereign call, all the elect will bow the knee because grace is irresistible. And we will be saved. We'll walk through this short life that Peter basically calls a layover, and we'll be taken into glory where we will spend eternity, new heavens and new earth, with the people of God and the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, the means by which God gathers in his bride is you being disciple-making disciples, right? We don't want to be more Calvinist than God is Calvinist and think, well, we can just sit there and we don't have to tell anybody. The wake and shake, as Brother Jeff said a few months ago or weeks ago, I don't remember. Was that what you said, Jeff? Wake and shake. We need to do the shaking and God does the waking. Disciple making. Okay? All right. So that's a big picture. Questions, comments, cause a shock or outrage. I exhort you men to pass this on to others, to guys you meet with, and maybe even not yet Christians that you're meeting with and working on, or people that say they're Christian, you're not sure, and come alongside them, love them, and show them this. And do it better than we just did there. Okay? All right. John 3. Okay? John 3. So that was like number one, big picture. Number two, let's talk, what should we title this part? Ben Z, John 3. You got John 3, can you read verse 3-8, please?
Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Okay. What's Jesus saying there? Paraphrase. Ben Z, what's Jesus saying there? Paraphrase.
In order to see God's grace, see the gospel, you have to be born again.
Okay, good. So, to be clear, in disciple making, God does the converting. Okay? That is utterly clear in John 3. He is sovereign over the new birth, over those who we are to make disciples of. Does that mean, though, we sit there? Sometimes I hear, you know, when we talk about biblical commands, sometimes people will say, yes, but God is sovereign. So, you know, maybe this or that will happen. Well, we're commanded to do this thing. So we go and make disciples. Nevertheless, God does the converting. Do we emphasize one more than the other? We emphasize them both. Okay, so God does the converting. There are souls that are going to be born, gentlemen, because of God's prior election. Okay. And maybe Phil or Seth or Matt, can you be taking notes of this for me, please? Just for later. Okay, thanks. So there are souls to be born because of God's prior election. All right, Ephesians 1:4. Now, interestingly, from that, we get this wonderful metaphor on the Christian life that it's like a birth. Becoming a Christian, it's a birth, spiritually speaking. Okay? Disciples are born. Okay? So a disciple is born by God. What's the instrumentality? Through the instrumentality of Christians, obedient Christians, who are making disciples. Okay, that's the instrumentality to the new birth. Okay? The human instrumentality. You understand what I'm saying there? Okay? But God does the birthing. Right? It's the same thing in physical, biological birth. There's human instrumentality in bringing a baby into the world, but God does the miracle of weaving that son of Adam in the womb of its mother. Okay? Divine concurrence, we would call it. Divine concurrence, okay? Now, when a disciple is born, okay? So the birth of a Christian, that's just the beginning of the matter. Beginning of their growth in life. Okay, that's the beginning of their growth. Just like when a human is born, that's just the beginning. That's not the end of the matter, that's the beginning. Okay, Jesus calls becoming a Christian the new birth. Okay, we talked all about the Phineas aberrations of making a decision, signing a card, walking an aisle, you know, reciting a prayer, all this unhelpful stuff. Okay. Now, when a soul is born, that's the beginning of the matter, not the end. Jesse, you have a Hudson. He's about one and some change. Yeah, one and some change. When dear Hudson Roy Peck was born, you didn't say, oh, this is great. We don't need to do anything more. He's born. He came into the world, this new creation. We're done. Let's go, you know, have some more kids. That's just the beginning of the matter. In disciple making, it's the same. You know, it's not just convert them and go. Great, we got them. Convert them and go. This is just the beginning. So this is where, so discipleship, when a soul is born, discipleship is just beginning. Now the name of the game is growth or sanctification, right? Shepherding. God's will for them now is Philippians, Seth, 2:12-13, to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you to work and to will for his good pleasure. All right? So just to get more into the divine concurrence that's happening, God's role, our role, we wanted to bring John 3 in to flesh that out a little bit. It is just the beginning. Any of you who are parents, I mean, you had Junior was born, and it's like, wow, it's kind of sobering how much work is to be done. Whoa, you know, I remember the first night we brought her from the home from the hospital, and like I laid her down. She was all nubbed up like we were taught to do in the class, you know, put the arms down, do the whole bounce thing. Fourth trimester, fourth trimester, you know, okay, got it. And I set that reprobate down on the crib, and it just started to cry. It's like, whoa, there's lots of stuff that needs to happen to care for this wonderful image bearer. And so it continues. So it is in discipleship. It is a new birth, brothers, to help work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? That was number two. Got it? Questions, comments, cries of shock or outrage? Okay, number three. So we had number one, big picture, the command for every Christian, disciple making disciples. Number two, kind of the concurrence of the thing and the new birth of souls born. That's not the end of the matter. That's just the beginning. Number three, let's talk about more specific. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Okay, let's go there if we would. Let's see, Brother Ben Stanley, you got Ephesians 4, 11. So this is now the furthering of disciple making. You know, I didn't talk much about, okay, how do we do evangelism, this and that. We'll come back to that, okay? Let's talk the furthering of disciple making. Go ahead, Ben.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints.
Okay, stop right there. Turn back, everybody, to Ephesians 2:20. And go ahead, just Ben, if you want to read that.
2:20?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Okay, so he gave, let's go back to Ephesians 4:11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He, God, okay? Christ is the cornerstone. He gave apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets, as we just heard, in Ephesians 2:20, they're the foundation of what? Foundation of the people of God, of the church. Foundation of the church. Okay? There are no more apostles and prophets. Okay, now the house is being built. Very clear in that text there. Just in the same way you don't build like 3 and 4 and 5 foundations for a house. You build one, and then you frame, and then you do everything else. You fill it in, okay? So apostles and prophets, done. Now we have these other officers, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. For what?
To equip
who? Equip who? The saints? Okay. So equip the saints. Who are the saints? Are those like super Christians? All believers. Okay, the Greek word the Greek word saint, it just means holy one. Someone whom God has made holy by cleansing them, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is furthering and giving, talking more specifically about the command and the commission of making disciples. Okay? Which is for every Christian. Okay, remember that command to equip, baptizing them so they're born again and teaching them everything to everything I've commanded you to observe and love with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay. So this Ephesians 4 is part of teaching them, those who are born anew, to observe everything I've commanded you. Not just to hear, but observe. Hear, so as to embrace, so as to submit, so as to implement, is the idea of observe. Okay? So this is getting more specific how God has designed things. It's not just a free-for-all. There's the church now, built on the foundation of Christ the Cornerstone, apostles, prophets, and there's teachers, there's evangelists, and pastors. Okay? And when we get more into the New Testament, this sort of evolves a little bit. And when we get into 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, we see we have elders, pastors, and then deacons, okay? We'll talk about evangelists and teachers later. Elders and pastors are called to shepherd, 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, to shepherd the flock of God among them. Okay, which is carrying out this Ephesians 4:11 process. Equip the saints. That Greek word there, equip, it was used as a medical term to set a dislocated shoulder in place, to reset a broken bone, to outfit somebody with the necessary gear to complete a task, equip. Okay? Equip who? All believers. For what? What are they to be equipped for? What does it say there? Everybody look at Ephesians, if you got Ephesians 4:11 and 12 there. 4:12. Equip the saints for what?
Work of service.
The work of service.
It's the building up of the body.
The building up of the body of Christ. Okay. So they equip all believers, and that work service there means ministry. So part of disciple making is pastors equipping all believers to do ministry, to be, you know, again, that Greek word equip, to outfit them with the necessary tools and gear, and the idea is teaching to do ministry. Okay? So who is to do ministry? All believers. Who is to equip all believers to do ministry?
Pastors.
Local church pastors, teachers, right? Evangelists. Although evangelists would be more in the step one of discipleship, baptizing. Okay? Again, we'll talk more about the details about this later. All right? The ministry for what? Unto what? What does Ephesians 4:12 say?
Building up for the body of Christ.
Yeah, to build up. Build up the body of Christ. Symbol for Christ there. To build up the body of Christ. Keep reading that, Ben, if you would. Follow along if you would, guys. 12 and 13. Yeah.
To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the mature stature of the fullness of Christ.
Okay, stop there. So what's the stopping point? All right. So like the goal or the end point, what did it say in that text of discipleship in that text? What's the stopping point, the end goal, until we what?
maturation of fullness of Christ.
Yeah, until we are fully, fully Christ-like. Well, what does that mean? It never ends. So that would be unto glorification. Okay, which implies it never stops in this life. What never stops?
Maturation and growth.
More specifically, what we're talking about here. Yes.
Discipleship.
Discipleship. So pouring into others never stops, because the end goal is we would be fully Christ-like. So discipleship. So therefore, discipleship always continues. Okay, it's always continuing. Always needs to keep going. There's never a time in our walk with Christ where we can say, I've arrived, I don't need any more discipleship, nor do I need to disciple others anymore. If you say that, then you're saying you're glorified, which is kind of heretical, okay? That you're perfected, okay? It's an unfortunate thing to say. We would not say that, all right? So we always need to be poured into. Just like the human being always needs food and air and rest, things to help sustain and care for them, and they don't need that anymore when their physiological functions cease, because their soul departs from the body. They'll get a new one one day, a new body. Revelation 20. Count on it, Phil. Okay? So that's sort of, we're getting more specific now. The New Testament, I don't want to say evolves, but it fills out that big picture command that we looked at from Matthew 28, okay? So number one, we have the big picture command for every Christian to be a disciple-making disciple. Number two, we have the concurrence of the new birth, where the birth is just beginning. Number three, we have Ephesians 4, and getting more specific with those who become disciples. Now, based on this Ephesians 4, we would be amiss if we didn't pause and say, okay, so church leaders are to be equipping me to do ministry, right? To build up the body. Then this begs the question of me, what is my ministry in the body of Christ? Every Christian is to have a ministry, or be moving towards having a ministry. Where you might not say, you know, I don't know, I don't have like an official thing yet, but I'm putting myself, okay, let's make a note of this too, if you would, note, guys. I'm putting myself in the place of equipping so I can move towards being in ministry. I'm putting myself obediently in the place of being equipped to grow, to have a ministry. So the body of Christ can be built up. This is bigger than us, gentlemen. It's not just about, well, me and my little thing, what I want, because there is the body of Christ. And Jesus cares for his body. And every local church is a microcosm of the body, little sort of bodies that make up the big body. And he wants it to be built up until we all attain. Read it again, dear brother, if you wouldn't mind. Until we all attain to what? The fullness.
Maturity of manhood. Stature of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Because it's about him. If you'd excuse me, there's sort of the pithy little saying, it's not about us, it's about him. So that his body would be built up. Well, he's sovereign and that'll just happen. Fooey on that. Don't be more Calvinist than God. We need to put ourselves in the place of equipping for ministry to be built up into the body of Christ. Okay? I'm going to take the baton there from... All righty. Now, listen to verses 14 to 16, how that fleshes out a little bit more. So this is in the context of disciple making and being equipped to be a participating, obedient member of the body of Christ, where I'm being equipped for ministry to build up the body of Christ. Notice some of the more helpful language there that fleshes this out. Go ahead, Ben.
So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of darkness, by human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather speaking.
Okay, stop right there. So that's like a pointed, in view explanation of discipleship. One of the chief things that's stated there. All right. One of the goals of equipping and disciple making is that we would no longer be what?
Children.
No longer children, and that's a spiritual term. And how are children pictured in that verse there? What's that?
Tossed
by what?
Every wind of doctrine.
Yeah. Tossed around, blown around. We would no longer be carried by every wind of doctrine. Okay? By false doctrines.
Or by the trickery of men.
Yeah.
Craftiness and evil scheming.
Or by, man-made ideas. Okay? To no longer... So one of the chief ends, brothers, of disciple making, to be equipped, the pastors, Ephesians 4:11, evangelists and teachers. The teachers would be, in my opinion, it's going to be something like a teaching elder or a teaching deacon that is commissioned in a local church by an elder. Okay, evangelists would be same, commissioned in and out of a local church. Kind of like a church planter, maybe, or someone who's in a local church and is commissioned to evangelize and is a teaching elder as well, or a teaching deacon is commissioned by an elder to not only evangelize but train others in the context of a local church to do evangelism themselves. Why? Because they're well called to equip. Okay, so one of the chief ends is that we would not be carried about by false doctrine. That we would become stabilized, in other words, in biblical truth. We become stabilized in biblical truth. And we'd learn to discern. Okay, AKA discernment. And the way you learn discernment is by learning the truth. That's one of the critical things of discipleship that is stated clearly here. We're not to be children anymore. Just like when you have a child, if you take your 6-year-old to their pediatric physician, and if that 6-year-old still has the size and the mannerisms and the diet of a 2-year-old, pediatrician is going to say, if they're worth their weight and salt, they're going to say, that's bad, red flag. They should be growing out of their 2-year-oldness. You need to be feeding them the right things, caring for them with the right nutrients. This is exactly what God is saying here in Ephesians 4. Wow, you've been saved 6 years. You need to know, you should know lots of doctrine, stability, discernment, not carried away by wolfish sheep or sheepish wolves and their trickery, okay? Trickery. Unprincipled men, Jude says in 2 Peter 2 says, who would try to carry you away to create a following after themselves, Acts 20. Verse 29, maybe. We'll just say it's like 28 to 30. It is 28, I think. that we would learn to discern no sheepish wolf, wolf of sheep. I learn who to follow. I learn who to be equipped by, who not to be equipped by. I learn what ideas to let influence me and not. Also, one characteristic of spiritual children, or of children, we'll just say, is that they're kind of, they're unstable, moody, flaky, right? Easily offended. And really they're largely about themselves. Okay? It's about them. That's largely children, that's just kind of how they are. Dad, they took my toy. It wasn't fair. You have six other toys here, Junior. Yeah, because they're largely about themselves. They get easily offended. They said that I wasn't a good soccer player. You know, you confront them and it's like derails them for a while. They're easily offended, they're moody, they're flaky, unstable. Part, a critical aspect of discipleship, okay, is that we are equipped, okay, to move out of that, to move out of spiritual childhood. Okay, again, that picture of waves thrown around. It's like one day I'm here. It's like one day I like Jesus' church. The next day I hate it. One day I'm an obedient, involved member of the local church. The next day, like, I'm going to be my own Lone Ranger Christian because someone offended me. No, one of the goals of discipleship is that we're moving beyond spiritual childhood. And if you're like me, if you struggle like I do, you always got a little bit of now and then in your less noble moments of spiritual childhood kind of lingering in there, and the Lord has to deal with me. And thankfully he does. Thankfully he does, because he's gracious and he's merciful and he's good with sinners like me. Okay? No longer to be tossed, but we are to do what, Ben? Ephesians 4:15. So there's a not there. There's a no longer. That was 14. But we are to.
Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ.
And the Greek, it literally just says truthing in love. The word speak isn't in there. Truthing in love. So we say, well, you know, I'm more of a love guy, but less of a truth guy. Or I'm more of a truth guy, less of a love. Well, then either way, we're in balance. So instead of spiritual childhood, we want to walk in truth and love and learn to administer truth and love. We love people and we are truthers. We love with the truth, or we love by bringing truth. But we also love in the truth, and we also give truth lovingly. You could flip those things around all day long and it would probably conform to the biblical pattern of of Ephesians 4:15 here. Okay, that's part of equipping. That you're not out there just, I can't believe you don't believe this, and slaying people with truth. But neither are we, well, I'm not much of a doctrine guy, I'm just about love. Nope. Then you're off. Because in Mark 9, I believe, it says, Jesus observed the people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them, and so he taught them. Jesus is not the only one of his responses to them being burdened and downcast was, so he taught them. In the same way that if you love your child, you feed them. You nurture them. And you don't throw the food at them. Take this food. You set it before them. Right? Because you love them. So we are to set the truth before people in different ways that will best administer to their soul. Okay? And we would put cross-reference 1 Thessalonians 5:14 here. Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. What's the last part of that? Be patient with everyone. Okay. All right. Speaking the truth and truthing in love. And then verse 16. Go ahead, Ben.
From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up.
So the whole body is held together and growing. And there's again the divine concurrence there. How is the whole body held together and growing? You guys tell me, what's the concurrence going on there? Him, the head, right? Jesus. Everybody with us here? Okay. Him. So first, by Christ, who's the head, right? What's the other mention in there, though, how the body grows and is held together? Derek, what do you see there in verse 16? So Christ, but what's the other stuff? Some INGs there that talks about how the body is held together and grows. Working of each individual part. Okay. So we would say be equipped. Equipped members working healthily, you know, it's not the best adverb, healthily and maturely. Okay. So, well, you know, we don't really need, it's just Christ does it all. No. Okay, don't be more of a communist than God. So yes, he is the head of the body. But in each local church, this is Paul's actually talking about the local church here. Because he's talking to a local church. And what does this look like? Well, this fleshes out in a local church. So this fleshes out, he's head of the body of the big church, capital C, but the way this has to be fleshed out is in local churches, little c, where equipped members are working healthily and maturely. And by that, the result is the body is held together and builds itself up. What does it say there, Derek? End of verse 16.
Working together, individuals are causing growth of the body, building up itself in love.
The building up of itself in love. Isn't that interesting? So the result of Christ being the head, well, how do we live out in a way his disciples and making disciples that Christ is the head? How do we do that? How do we functionally submit to have Christ being exercising his headship in a local church?
We do
church what? Yeah. So teaching and submitting to his word. That's always how the church has understood Christ, allowing, I hate that word allow, but affirming so that Christ's headship is exercised in the church, teaching and submitting to his word. But what's the other way that the church is then built up? And love. What's the other way? Yeah, equipped members who are putting themselves in the stream of equipping, because that process of discipleship never stops. Okay, let me just put a carrot in there, Matt, note taker. Thank you. Putting themselves in the stream of getting equipped. Okay, putting themselves in the stream of getting equipped, who are then working healthily and maturely, of course, in the local church. And the consequence of that is the end result, and that's where that discussion ends there, of equipping. So the body is built up, gentlemen. There's a design to how it works. It's not just, well, God is sovereign and he'll build it up. Well, yeah, but there's a design to it. Well, Junior, God is sovereign. I don't need to instruct you or train you in things or teach you to do this and that and give you responsibility and let you fall a little bit and let you learn like the reward and ethics and the value of a dollar. I don't need to do that because God is sovereign. No. We have to walk with them to help them grow up in those things. God is sovereign and he'll cause the growth. Right? So it is in disciple making. Okay, so all of that from Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 is, you know, there's a sense in which the New Testament is a progression of knowledge and doctrine and filling out. You know, like you don't really have elders in Acts 2. Well, 30 years later, from 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, it's, you have elders and stuff's getting a little more specific. So it is here. Jesus gives the big picture command, number one, as we studied in Matthew 28, that every Christian's mission is to be a disciple-making disciple. And that Paul gives more data what that looks like specifically through and in the context of a local church in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And then we had our little interlude there, number two, on this, the concurrent work of God and his instruments of men, obedient Christians who are making disciples, as he brings about the new birth. And we observe something is born here. That's at the end of the matter. It's just the beginning. Okay? And part of the beginning of the matter then is fleshed out there in Ephesians 4:16. And so it's just disciples going everywhere, just unaccountable, untethered, doing whatever they want. No, it's, as we saw, he gives the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, done, foundation laid, Ephesians 2:20. And then the church is built on that. Pastors, among others, being commissioned by God to get equipped themselves and equip others to do the work of the ministry. Christ always is the head. That's one reason, by the way, why we have expository preaching. So we ensure just all the words get told so that Christ is, as much as possible, allowed to functionally exercise his headship. And then in the stream of equipping, we have equipped members putting themselves in the stream of equipping, operating healthily and maturely, helping all believers move as much as we can out of that spiritual infancy and spiritual childhood, which, if you're like me, you still struggle with at times, but hopefully by God's grace, we're moving out of it as we seek to get equipped. And we're not just moving out of it for ourselves, we're moving out of it so that we can be more effective disciple makers and so that we can equip and contribute to the body that's working well itself. And so I leave us with this. In what way, brothers, are we being, by God's grace, if you're converted, disciple-making disciples? In what way are you, by God's grace, moving into being a disciple who makes disciples? You might say, well, you know, I'm not really sure how that all works yet. That's fine. But because God has sent his son and has so loved us and he's risen from the grave. How are we putting ourselves in the stream of equipping to operate healthy in a mature way to help build up the body so it's built up in love? Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are good. We thank you, as you told Moses, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Father, we thank you. Thank you that is true. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on us, on those who fear him. And Father, you have a mission for us. And it's not arbitrary or capricious. It's not self-defined. It's biblically defined. And I pray that motivated by love for you, that we would seek to align ourselves with it because you are worthy. Give these brothers joy and strength and fruitfulness and faithfulness and all they do this week and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will, thanks for breakfast. Appreciate that. Good stuff. Gentlemen, as you're leaving, remember, so even if you weren't going to Shepherd's Conference, they're going to do a one day starting at 11 a.m. next Wednesday, 11 a.m. to like 6 p.m.